Programs, views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. We just pray that you would bless this time, Lord, this afternoon. We just pray that we could be a blessing, be encouragement to somebody here today. And Lord, just pray that the things we talk about, that we can lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you. What a beautiful day this has turned out to be here in northeastern Ohio. And I'll tell you what, though, last night was another night for the global warming group. We got down to, I believe it was 43 degrees, I think, at our, not 43, I think it was 46 degrees. Maybe it was 43, but we were down in the mid-40s at nothing else. At our house last night, it was cold. I told my wife, I said, here it is, you know, almost the end of July, the dog days of July, and if it gets any colder, we're going to have to turn the furnace on here at the end of July. And she said, yeah, it's a dog days, huskies, you know, thinking of the dogs in Alaska that pull the sleds. But at any rate, this is nothing more than global variation that you see, and different things happening. As we've said before, the actual warmest decade, even the climate change enthusiasts have finally admitted that the warmest decade on record was really the 1930s. I think it was like 1936, 37, somewhere around there, was the actual warmest year on record. But we've been in a slight cooling trend ever since, certainly in the last few years. And if it keeps going like this, another winter like last winter, another summer like this summer, the ice age will be coming again. But I don't know. I kind of like the cooler temperatures, though. It's kind of nice. I enjoy it. I don't like the real hot, sticky weather that you usually get this time of year in northeast Ohio. Beautiful day outside. If you get a chance to get out and enjoy it, you should do so. Right now, we're going to get into our program here this afternoon, and like I said, hope you'll be able to join in. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I wanted to start out today. I saw an interesting article about a scientist being fired for making a discovery. And you think, how in the world would that happen? And there's a variety of stories circulating around about this, but essentially what happened is this particular scientist, he had found a triceratops, and I would give you a little bit more here, but I lost my page as I was starting out here. There we go. Get back onto the right page here. And it's Triceratops horridus, I guess would be the scientific name. And he was looking into this. He was employed, I guess, at the California State University Northridge campus. And 2 years ago, he was abruptly fired. And right now, he's got a lawyer from the Pacific Justice Institute defending him, and they announced just the other day that they were suing California State University Northridge on the grounds of discrimination. Now, get this, discrimination for perceived religious views. You say, well, what would cause a scientist to lose his job? Well, here it is. Mark Armitage, the scientist that dared step out of line there, whether or not he raised his religious beliefs there is not really clear, but it's not really so much as important as the fact that the complaint alleges that one of his superiors barged into his office and screamed at him, saying, "We are not going to tolerate your religion in this department." And then shortly after that, he was cut off or cut loose. They gave him the sack, basically. But what is it that caused the California State University Northridge to fire Armitage? Well, the bone of contention, pun intended, was that he was looking at a fossil of Triceratops horridus, and the large horn that is above the eyes, and it was a very large one, one of the largest, I guess, ever found. When he was looking at that, he found sheets of a soft fibrillar bone in there. And this soft tissue, basically, was something that shouldn't exist. He examined it under a scanning electron microscope, and in doing so, he found osteocytes, which are the cells that actually lay down bone. And this shouldn't be there, not in a fossil, not in something that's supposed to be millions of years old. And so we have the problem here. Where did this this soft tissue with these osteocytes come from? Well, he sent his report not to one of the creationist magazines or something like that. He actually sent his report to Acta Histochemica, and they published it in their July 2013 issue. And he denies questioning directly questioning evolution in the paper, and the abstract doesn't say anything about it. But what he said was that this find extends the range and type of dinosaur specimens known to certain non-fossilized material in the bone matrix. And that could be a reference back to a find that was released back in, I think it was about 2005, Mary Schweitzer, and her find was actually released in a variety of sources. There was in the Smithsonian and some other places that her find was released, and these are not pro-evolution sources. In fact, the Smithsonian is not going to produce or publish anything that's contrary to party line on evolution. But the Smithsonian.com, you can actually look up Mary Schweitzer's report there, where she found in what was supposed to be, according to their thought, 68 million year old Tyrannosaurus rex fossils, where she actually found soft tissue. And there's even pictures there of some soft tissue from inside the leg bone that was stretchy. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never seen a fossil that has stretchy material in it. And it had blood cells and some other things. And there's been a number of these types of tissues found. And you would think this would be a huge amount of news, and that people studying biology in high schools across America would be hearing about this. And certainly, if you didn't hear about it in high school, you'd hear about it in college. And let me just read something. This is Scientific American. Now, keep in mind, Scientific American is not a pro-creationist publication. In fact, they're very, very virulently anti-creation. And in December 2010, Scientific American published an article also by Mary Schweitzer, and it's called Blood from Stone: How Fossils Can Preserve Soft Tissue. And she talks about these Tyrannosaurus fossil bone, leg bones. And we'll just read what she says here. And I'm going to read it and see if you can catch something in here, because, and I'll give you kind of a hint. This is something that the evolutionists and the anti-creationists are now grudgingly starting to admit occurred. And it's only been in the recent years that they've grudgingly admitted that these things occur. And she says this in her article in Scientific American. She says, for more than 300 years, paleontologists have operated under the assumption that the information contained in fossilized bones lies strictly in the size and shape of the bones themselves. The conventional wisdom holds that when an animal dies under conditions suitable for fossilization, inert minerals from the surrounding environment eventually replace all the organic molecules, such as those that make up cells, tissues, pigments, and proteins, leaving behind bones composed entirely of mineral. She goes on to say, as I sat in the museum that afternoon in 1992, staring at the crimson structures in the dinosaur bone, I was actually looking for a sign that this bedrock tenet of paleontology might not always be true, though at the time I was mostly puzzled. Given that dinosaurs were non-mammalian vertebrates, they would have had nucleated blood cells, and the red items certainly looked the part, but so too they could have arisen from some geologic process unfamiliar to me. Now, did you catch something was in the middle of that? In 1992, scientists were looking at fossils, so-called fossils, that had what appeared to be red blood cells in them. Undecayed red blood cells. Sticky red blood cells. Sticky meaning wet. If you touched them, they would appear damp and stick to your finger. Now, for something that supposedly died 65 million years ago, how would we have these things? And this is a story that I'm looking at a little bit in the past, and I just started looking at it thanks to this article that I saw just yesterday. I was looking at it a little bit more, and it's something that evolutionists have really done backflips trying to argue away from this, trying to come up with ways to say this couldn't possibly be organic material. It's something else. And then all the evidence and testing shows that it's organic material. So some of the suggestions have been things such as, well, what happened probably is some kind of bacteria or fungal tissue got into the fossil, and that's what we're really looking at, because it's not really from the dinosaurs, because they lived so long ago and it couldn't possibly have survived. And that's true. If dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago, the soft tissues surely could not have lasted that long. It would be a biological impossibility. So it leads to a couple of different options. One option is it's not real dinosaur soft tissue. It's some kind of bacteria or fungal type substance. Although too many studies now have showed that, yes, indeed it is, as in the case of this guy in California, soft bone tissue and bone cells. And in the case of this other woman in the Smithsonian and Scientific American, it's actual red blood cells. It's not bacteria. It's not fungal. It's actual ligaments. It's actual soft tissue. So now, with the overwhelming evidence, this cannot be hushed up anymore, although they're still trying, as in the case of Dr. Armitage out in California, they're still trying to hush this up, but it is leaking out into, if I could use the pun, it is bleeding into the secular media. Now, creationists have been noticing this for some time and talking about it, and that's one of the reasons the evolutionists have tried to clamp down and not talk about this, just kind of stick their head in sand, pretend it doesn't exist. But there's too much of it discovered, too many people are finding it, too many people are studying it, and so they're being forced to have to grudgingly conclude that it exists. And so they're trying to figure out ways, well, how can we describe this as existing in our our worldview of evolution. And they're doing all kinds of biological gymnastics and trying to come up with ways that in an iron-rich environment, which of course you would have with red blood cells, and just the right conditions that they were sealed in, and somehow and biological mechanisms not quite understood, notice the buzzwords, not quite understood to us today, we have these things preserved. And of course, that doesn't account for ligaments and things like that that doesn't have a large concentration. But of course, well, maybe the concentration of water that initially was they were saturated with, that's where the high concentration of iron is. But they're doing anything to avoid a conclusion that, dare I say, might be inconvenient truth for them, and that's that dinosaurs may not have lived quite as long ago as people think. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Al? I know, because I saw something on TV. My kids brought a book home from school. It said dinosaurs lived, you know, millions and millions and millions of years ago, 65 million years ago. How could they be around today? Well, I'm not saying necessarily that they're around today, although there are sightings in parts of Africa and other parts of the world that strongly suggest that dinosaurs may not be as extinct as people think that they are. But let me read you something from the book of Job. Now, Job is one of the oldest books of the Bible, and Job himself is a descendant of both Esau and Ishmael. And you can find Job here, and so that puts him living probably somewhere in the general time frame of the patriarchs. And and of course Ishmael being Abraham's first son, and Esau being Jacob's Isaac's son, the twin, the slightly older twin of Jacob. And so Job appears to be a descendant of both those individuals. That gives you a general time frame, and probably living in the area where Jordan is in between Israel and Saudi Arabia, in that part of the world. And Job writes this, and he's having a conversation with God. And in Job chapter 40, he says in verse 15, "Behold now, Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox." Now, Behemoth, in a lot of Bibles, and I've done this as an experiment at our church, I said, well, if you have a Bible that has notes or study notes, what does it suggest that Behemoth is? And most Bibles seem to suggest that Behemoth was a wild donkey or a hippopotamus or an elephant. That seems to be the general thing that most Bibles seem to suggest that he is. Well, keep in mind a donkey, an elephant, and a hippopotamus. Now, I grew up on a small farm. We had donkeys at various times. And I can think of what the tail of a donkey looks like. And I've seen hippopotamus on TV, seen them in the zoo, and I've seen what their tail looks like. Their tail it looks like a little tiny windshield wiper. That's about it. I mean, relative to the size of the hippopotamus. And even an elephant's tail really isn't that impressive. When my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, one of the symbols of some of the Maatai, some of the chiefs, was that they had this little stick that had some string-type stuff on the end of it, and it was basically it was a symbol of their office, but it was derived from a thing to switch away mosquitoes. And that's basically what the elephant's tail and the donkey's tail do. And when you look at Job here talking about Behemoth, he describes him eating grass as an ox. So far, so good. He continues, verse 16, "Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly." Verse 17, "He moveth his tail like a cedar." Well, wait a minute. I've seen tails of donkeys, tails of hippopotamus, hippopotami, I guess be the plural, and I've seen tails of elephants. And the first thing that comes to my mind is not a cedar. And when we're using the term cedar here, we're not talking about the scrub cedar that you see down in southern Ohio and going down in Kentucky along the highway. You're talking about the mighty cedars of Lebanon. You're talking about majestic trees, large trees, strong trunks and such not. And his tail is described as being like a cedar, like a large, majestic tree. Somehow, the tail of a donkey or a hippopotamus or an elephant does not bring to mind a large, majestic tree. It might bring to mind a twig or maybe an herb or something like that, or a small branch on a shrub, but it certainly doesn't bring to mind a large and majestic tree like a cedar. And it goes on to say more about this, and I'm dropping down for time's sake here. It says he, in verse 21, he lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. And, you know, there's some dinosaurs that sounds suspiciously like that. And you can go into chapter 41 of Job, and you can read about Leviathan. And Leviathan is also another thing that sounds like some kind of aquatic dinosaur. You say, well, wait a minute, are you suggesting that dinosaurs lived the same time as Job? Well, it makes more sense than saying that a donkey has a tail like a cedar. It makes more sense than some of the mental gymnastics that people go through to try and change things. If the Bible is what it says it is, the Word of God, and it's true, the Bible indicates that the entire world and universe was created thousands of years ago, not millions, and that all the animals were created in that on day six, all the land animals, the same day that man was created. The Bible also tells us that there was a man by the name of Noah who was commanded to build an ark. And God safeguarded Noah and his family on the ark with representatives of all the land animals in the ark in order to preserve them through a worldwide flood. It wasn't a regional flood. If that was the case, God would have commanded him to migrate, not build an ark. He could have migrated where the flood wasn't going to be, but he built an ark. He said, well, how could you get these big dinosaurs on an ark? Well, the average size of most vertebrates today, and even when you include the dinosaurs, is about the size of a sheep. And so they could have been on there. You could have had young ones on there. And go online sometime, do a search on cryptozoology. And there's elements out there that are just suppressed because they don't toe the party line. And when somebody steps too far out of the party line, like Dr. Armitage out at California State University at Northridge, when you step too far out of line, they crack down on you, you get thrown out, and you lose your job. There's a great movie out there done a few years ago called Expelled, and Expelled has some interviews with some individuals that were actually thrown out of their positions, fired, if you will, because they actually questioned evolution. You say, well, scientists wouldn't do that, would they? Well, I don't have time to get into it right now, but the prevailing theory in quantum mechanics, there's a famous experiment with two slits and electron passing through it to determine things in terms of the properties of physics. And the prevailing theory is that the act of observing where that electron is causes it to be there. And I don't have time to get into all the details, but I was just reading just about a week or two ago, there was a rival theory called the pilot wave theory that actually better explains things than the current theory. And when it first came out at the same time, a lot of people, including Einstein, actually initially thought that it was a superior theory, but it did not become the favored theory to where people would be not promoted if they held to that theory, and papers that held to that theory would not be published. Same thing happening with creation today. Don't think that scientists are open to the truth. They're as locked into their worldview as I am into my biblical worldview. They just won't admit it. And I encourage you, keep an open mind and look to the Word of God. Trust Christ as your Savior. Tune in again next week. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word.